This morning on Wake Up With Hope, Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional thought. We will have a dedicated prayer session and a special recipe from the Good Food Kitchen.
Stay tuned. You don't want to miss a thing. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. We are so glad you have chosen to join us this morning.
Yes, we are so excited to be here just like every morning, waking up with the hope that can only be found in Jesus. And today, we want to share that special hope and joy with you.
Amen. Absolutely. You know, it is our pleasure to be able to spend the morning with you. And we can't wait to share what we have in store for you.
That's right. Did you know that today is Go For A Ride Day?
All right.
Wow, I like going for rides. This day encourages you to get out into the world, hop on your bike,
okay,
into your car, simply get out your walking shoes.
Or running shoes.
That's right. Go for a walk, go for a trip, do something different today, and enjoy a nice journey somewhere fun and relaxing. Take a stroll during lunch or after work, grab your kids after school or your spouse, and just go alone if you don't have anyone else to grab. Get away and enjoy a little R&R as you go for a ride. And as you do, we encourage you to spend some time thinking about everything there is to be thankful for and how much Jesus loves you and has led you so far. He has amazing plans for you, friend.
Amen. You know, we have lots in store today, so let's begin by taking a look back at this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1963, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the 35th President of the United States, was assassinated while traveling through Dallas, Texas in an open-top convertible. First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy rarely accompanied her husband on political outings, but she was beside him along with Texas Governor John Connally and his wife for a 10-mile motorcade through the streets of downtown Dallas on November 22. Sitting in a Lincoln convertible, the Kennedys and Connallys waved at the large crowd and enthusiastic people that were gathered along the parade route. As their vehicle passed the Texas School Book Depository building at 12:30 p.m., Lee Harvey Oswald allegedly fired 3 shots from the 6th floor, fatally wounding President Kennedy and seriously injuring Governor Connally. Kennedy was pronounced dead 30 minutes later at Dallas Parkland Hospital. He was just 46 years old. And just like that, a life was gone. Just like that, many lives were shattered and forever changed. And how often it happens, my friends. According to World Population Review, 183,671 people die every day all around the world. That amounts to 7,653 people every hour and 128 people every minute and 2 people every second.
Oh my, those are incredible numbers. They are astounding and sobering. You know, James chapter 4, verse 14 reminds us that we're like a vapor. Mm-hmm. We are here 1 minute and gone the next. You know, friends, what will you do with your life? What will you do with the short time that you have here on earth? How you make a difference and make an impact? You know, sometimes people think of this and decide to go on a quest to fulfill all their bucket list items or spend money doing things that doesn't necessarily benefit anyone. And today, as you ponder this question, we challenge you to, instead of thinking about yourself and life on this earth, think heavenward. What will you do today that will bring God's heavenly kingdom into your heart and prepare you for the eternal kingdom that's to come?
Amen. Nachos. Who doesn't like nachos?
Oh, I love nachos.
Me too.
In fact, I think I'll make myself some nachos as Argentina plays after this episode.
Oh, that sounds pretty fun. Well, renowned chef Jeremy Dixon joins us now to share a healthy and delicious recipe of nachos.
Everyone loves nachos, and I've got for you now a really delicious nacho cheese sauce that does not contain cheese, it contains vegetables, and you won't believe it. And the key to this is actually having really starchy vegetables like potatoes and carrots and beans, putting them together, and it creates a really lovely silky smooth sauce. So let's rip into it. First thing what we're gonna do is take these starchy vegetables and chop them up and cook them. So we'll just roughly chop these guys, just kind of as small as you can without being too pedantic. So I'll put these guys into a pot. I'm also gonna add, I clicked all these vegetables, an onion as well. And this gives a lovely sweetness. This in as well. I'm just gonna turn on the gas. We're gonna put some boiling water over the top. When you're cooking, if you use boiling water, it just cuts down on your cooking time as well. So before you start cooking, pre-boil the jug and you've got instant boiling water ready to go. That'll save about 5 minutes in the cooking process. So just one big clove of garlic. So that will take around about 15 minutes or until they're really soft. And then we'll come back and add them in to the rest of our mix. So now we wanna assemble all the ingredients into a blender. So these I think are done now. Yep, got lots of these lovely carrots, onions, garlic and potato. So I'm just gonna drain it here and fire this into the blender. Look at that. Then we're gonna be adding some yeast flakes. These are a great way of kind of getting savory cheesiness into vegetarian food is by using yeast flakes. So you can find these at most health stores and supermarkets. Just put a good quarter cup in of that. Cannellini beans or any white bean or lima beans are really good as well. Put in half a teaspoon of salt. And we're gonna use some seeded mustard. And seeded mustard just adds a lovely taste, so a lovely tablespoon of that. And tapioca starch, or arrowroot, is really useful as well. And this kind of is a nice thickening agent that you can use. So we're gonna add a quarter of a cup of this in there as well. And then we're gonna add around about a cup and a half of the mixture from the water. So about a cup and a half. And we're gonna blend it all up. And as you can see, we've got this lovely cauldron of beautiful cheesiness. But there's still one step. The tapioca starch has to activate and kind of make it all kind of sticky. So we're gonna pour it in a pan. It'll probably take a couple of minutes just to heat up. It just needs to be just boiling or just to bubbling so that the starch activates. While we're doing that, we'll get the rest of the nachos ready. So again, the best way to do nachos is effectively just a plate. And we're gonna be adding corn chips. So a good handful of corn chips. And if you can, try and get the corn chips that don't have all the artificial flavors added as well. So try and get natural corn chips. We're gonna add some chopped tomatoes, some cherry tomatoes. And nachos wouldn't be nachos without guacamole. So this is the next thing I'm gonna make. And so simply get two avocados and we're gonna mash them up. About a tablespoon of lemon juice. Touch of salt, Himalayan salt, always use pink salt where you can. And that guacamole is ready to go, just as simple as that. Look at how wonderful that is, how wonderful. It just smells so cheesy as well, that flake yeast. Just drizzle the cheese sauce around. Don't be scared to be generous. And then the toppings are very important. Sprinkle of cherry tomatoes. You always need a bit of green in every meal, so we'll just do some finely chopped capsicum sprinkled over. And some coarse coriander. Some nice sprinkle that. And there you have a really yummy nacho meal that doesn't have cheese, it's made of vegetables. How healthy and delicious is that? Hope you enjoy eating that at home. Give it a try with your family, I'm sure they will love it.
Friends, don't go anywhere. When we return, we will have the Let's Pray team leading us in prayer. And don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more exciting content.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope.
Psalm 69:13 says, "But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness." God is waiting to answer us according to his saving faithfulness.
Amen.
But he can't answer the prayer he doesn't hear. And that is why the Let's Pray team joins us right now to lead us as we pray.
Well, good morning to each and every one of you. I am so thrilled that you are waking up with hope. My name is Chris Holland, and I am one of the hosts of Let's Pray, the place where you don't have to pray alone. I have the privilege of co-hosting this program with Season Cromwell. We are on air from 8 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Thursday. You know, friends, I was thinking about something to share with you and to pray about, and one of the things that I thought about is, you know, in these times that are going on in the world, there's something for me that's really just one of the most important things, and that's family. You know, it's interesting, as Jesus was dying on the cross, you know, he could have been concerned about a huge number of things. But I want you to take note of one of the last things that Jesus said. It's there in John chapter 20 and verse 26. The Bible says, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved," speaking of John, "standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." You see, Jesus was concerned with family. One of the last things he did was to take care and make sure that his mother was taken care of. And you know, family is so important to provide that support structure around us, to give us encouragement. Now, maybe there's somebody watching here this morning that is saying, "Yeah, but I don't have any family. My mother and father passed away a long time ago. Or I was given up for adoption. I don't even know who my mom and dad are." Or maybe you have a strained relationship with your mother and father. Well, you know, the Bible gives us a wonderful promise, and there are two of them I'm going to share with you. The first is found in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. There in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5, I want you to take note. The Apostle Paul writes these words, which are profound words, that speaking of Jesus, that he came to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. You see, friends, if you don't have a good relationship with your parents, or maybe your parents have passed away, Jesus wants to adopt you, that you would be his son, that you would be his daughter. And in fact, the promise is not just an if promise, but Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5 tells us that you were created to be a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:5 says, "Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself." You were made to be a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ. You see, our earthly family is important. They provide that support structure. But even more important than our earthly family is our heavenly family, where we become a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ, and he becomes our father, the perfect father that any of us could ever have. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have offered adoption, that we might become a son or a daughter when we come to you. I pray, dear God, that our families would be blessed. I pray for all of the families represented on Wake Up with Hope right now, this morning, that each and every one of those families would be blessed, and that we would experience the blessing of family, whether we have a physical family or we just have our heavenly family. Whatever it may be, Lord, please bless the families. Please help us to experience the blessing of family. And Lord, help us to live life to its fullest in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear friends, I pray and I hope that each and every family is blessed. God bless each and every one of you. Back to you in the studio.
Amen. Thank you for that time of prayer. You know, it's almost time now for us to be blessed by the Word through a devotional thought. After this short break, Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will bring us hope from God's Word. Wake up with hope. We'll be right back.
We are so glad that you have chosen Wake Up With Hope to start your day. Welcome back.
And as promised, this morning we have Elizabeth Talbot from our friends at Jesus 101 who will be sharing this morning's devotional thought.
Hello, everyone. We continue with our series, Fear Not. And today's topic is Fear Not, Powerful Armies. And you might not be fighting armies, but we fight obstacles that are powerful in our lives. And I want to start by telling you that perception, I learned that perception is the interpretation of reality. How we're going to interpret a particular situation that happens in our lives. And I learned that when you have a particular belief, you interpret different. The same situation that somebody else might interpret in a negative way, you might be able to interpret it in a positive way. Just because you have your perception glasses on. I don't know if you remember, I think it was in the 80s and 90s, these 3D pictures came along that you had to focus your eyes, and all of a sudden you saw a whole different reality emerge from the picture. I remember I used to be a youth leader at that time, and for my birthday, the youth of the church brought me this huge picture as a birthday present, and I couldn't see what they were seeing. So I stayed there for hours crossing my eyes and doing all kinds of things until I was able to see it. And it was so beautiful. It was completely different what emerged from the picture than what I could see at first sight. Well, you know, we always have two sides of reality. The one that we see with our eyes and the one we see with our spiritual eyes. And that's usually called faith and believing. Today, we're going to study a story that makes this very clear. So please come with me to the second book of Kings, chapter 6. There is a prophet in the land. His name is Elisha. And there is an enemy of Israel, the king of Aram, that is trying to fight Israel all the time. And when he makes plans to come and fight, the prophet tells the king of Israel, the king of Aram is coming, and so he's always ready. So one day the king of Aram said, what's going on? How come the king of Israel always knows when we're coming? And I'm going to read on 2 Kings 6, verse 11. The heart of the king of Aram was enraged over this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you tell me which of us is for the king of Israel? Is there a mole in our group? How come the king of Israel always knows when we're coming? And one of his servants, verse 12, said, no, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. This prophet is like a fly on your wall. No matter what you say, what you do, he knows. And so he lets the king of Israel know. That's why he's always ready. So the king of Aram said, verse 13, go and see where he is, this prophet, and that I may send and take him. And it was said to him, behold, he's in Dothan. And he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. I think this is such a paradox, because if this was a prophet that always knew what was coming, how could the king of Aram said, oh, okay, I know, I'm going to get him and he's not going to know I'm coming. What a paradox, right? A prophetic paradox. And when they were sleeping, the whole army surrounded the city where the prophet was. So in the morning, when they woke up, the attendant of the prophet looks out the window and he sees this army that is completely surrounding them, right? And verse 15, this is 2 Kings 6:15. Now, when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? What shall we do? We are surrounded by powerful armies. What are we going to do? Maybe today you are feeling that way, that your eyes see obstacles, enemies, armies against you, and you're saying, we can't do anything about this. What are we going to do? And this is where the prophet's words might be exactly what you need today. The prophet says to his servant, verse 16, he answered, "Do not fear." That's our series. Fear not. Do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And I imagine the attendants saying, okay, 1, 2, 1, 2. It's just 2, 1, and 1, 2. You know, there's no more than two. It's just us. And the prophet said, no, there's a lot more with us than with them. And then he prayed. The prophet prayed. Verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, "Oh Lord, I pray, open his eyes." This is his other eyes, his eyes of faith, that he could see the spiritual realities. He's asking for a bridge to the spiritual reality so that he could actually see it. And Elisha prayed and said, "Oh Lord," verse 17, "I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I like to visualize this because, you know, many times we feel surrounded by circumstances, and they felt surrounded by circumstances. I mean, the attendant did. Elisha already knew this. He didn't even need to see it. He believed it so much that he didn't even need to see it. But imagine this. They're surrounded, completely surrounded. It's just two of them, the prophet and the attendant, and the attendant and the prophet and the prophet and the attendant. That's it. They're surrounded by an army. And the prophet says, no, the ones that are with us are more than the ones that are with them. And then he prays that for a moment, his servant would be able to see how the Lord of hosts and all the angels were surrounding them and that they were a much more powerful army. So this looks very fearful, doesn't it? But when you put the second reality, oh, I love this, of all these angels around them, oh, now it looks completely different, doesn't it? Because now it's no longer this army that was there. It's all this other reality that is surrounding them that, of course, now it looks much better, doesn't it? Because the army of the Lord of hosts is around them. You know, after this prayer, Elisha will pray that the soldiers will be blinded, and they are, and he leads them to Samaria, and then the king of Israel says, "What shall I do? Shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" And he said, "No, don't kill them. This is from the Lord. So now you're going to do a great feast for them." This is verse 23. He prepared a great feast for these soldiers. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. You know, this truth has been with me for a long time. Sometimes I feel surrounded by obstacles and powerful armies. And I remember a verse from my childhood, Psalm 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and defends them." We always have this second reality around us. Those who are with us are much more than those, many more than those that are against us. And see, this is important to remember because salvation always also works like this. Not only our daily battles, the things that we face, but salvation works this way. You need to look at it through the eyes of faith and be sure of the things you don't see, but that God has told you. Salvation says, "He who has the Son has life." So be sure of this. Put your glasses on. Be sure of your salvation. Remember, faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, faith is the certainty of things we don't see. So you can be certain of them because there's this second reality that God offers us both for our salvation and our daily battles. Fear not, powerful armies.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Well, friends, thank you for spending this time with us this morning. If you'd like to learn more about Wake Up with Hope or share with a friend or even rewatch some episodes or parts of today's program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget, tomorrow morning we'll be right here with Livin' in the Kitchen. We're going to have music and inspiring devotional thought and so much more. We hope to see you then. Plus, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Amen. Well, friends, that's all for today's program. But before we go, we want to leave you with a promise that you can take to heart. Today's promise is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19.
And it says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus."
Amen. Wow, what a promise.
Amen. God will meet all of your needs.
Yes.
Financial troubles, He's got us covered. Physical pain, He's got your back. Emotionally distressed, yep, He's got that too. And He promised to meet every single one
Amen.
Of your needs. That's a promise, and an amazing one at that.
And that's right. And we hope that you will remember to keep this promise close to your heart. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, as we begin this day, I'm sure that all of us, including Heidi and I, could sit down and make a long list of needs that we have in our life today. But we ask that the Holy Spirit would come into our hearts and that He would reveal to us our greatest needs, and that we would come to You, Lord, and cast all our cares upon You because You care for us. Come, Lord, and carry us through this day. Be our strength. Be everything we need. Give us wisdom to be able to make choices that will be the right ones. So thank You, Lord, for being so good to us, and thank You for this timely promise. In Jesus' name, amen.